We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI. Let's get it going. This is Late Night right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, well, away we go. Never a slow days, but slow day rather with the Patriots. So, of course, you have Michael Bennett, no longer on the team at the moment. He's suspended for the week. Maybe he'll return, maybe he won't, but it doesn't look good for the future of Michael Bennett as a Patriot. Apparently, him and Brett Bielema got into it, so not good news for the Patriots in that perspective. We can get into what this means long term. If the Patriots can actually get something of quality for Michael Bennett back, I have my doubts considering the guy is now a malcontent with the Patriots and he hasn't been playing that much. He played 11 snaps last game, so we'll get into all that. Plus, the big news today, Rob Gronkowski was here on the Greg Hill Show and he had a lot to say about a lot of different stuff. Of course, he was promoting CBD Medic, etc. The number 617-779-7937. Again, that number 617-779-7937 if you want to join us tonight. So I want to start with what happened with Rob Gronkowski today. And by the way, he gave a massage to Greg Hill. It's all over WEI.com if you want to see that. But Rob Gronkowski had a lot to say. And one thing that really stuck out to me when he's asked if he is definitely retired.
This is Dave. Dave, what's up?
Gregory, thanks for letting me call up and talk to Gronk.
Yeah.
Rob, I just want to say thank you for all the great memories as a New England Patriot. And one question, I will not be satisfied by hanging up unless I hear you say yes or no, you're going to come back to the Patriots this year.
He wants a definite answer.
He's not giving
one.
All
right, well, all right, I'll give an answer, obviously. When I retired, I retired for a reason because I needed to step away. So it would be a no.
It's a no.
It would be a no.
It's a no.
Yes, it would be a no. There it is.
It's a no.
Yeah, but I never say no because I've said no, and everyone's like, yeah, he's kidding.
Right.
All right, so that was Rob Gronkowski today on the Greg Hill Show. Credit to the caller, man. He got him to give the answer. And Rob Gronkowski seemed really, really like passionate about the fact that, no, I'm not coming back, almost as if he was upset about the situation. Do you believe, Gronk, that he's now retired for good? The number 617-779-7937. Again, 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next 3 hours or so. All right, so a couple of things stick out for me. So it makes zero sense from this perspective. The first thing that doesn't make sense to me with Rob Gronkowski is he seemed like almost irritated to the point that people are questioning whether or not he's going to return to the football field. And I keep coming back to this with Rob Gronkowski. You do realize that you're the one that makes this continually becoming a question week after week after week. The reason that this continues to stay in the news and the reason that this continues to stay out there is because you continue to keep it relevant. That's the one thing I would say to Gronk. Like, it was almost as if he was irritated with the question. He says he gets the question all the time. It's because you keep it open. Just last week when you were on Fox making your television debut, you essentially came out and said what? You said, I'm keeping it open. I always keep that opportunity open. Now, you didn't say you're definitely coming back. You're retired now, but you said you keep that open. You had a situation during the summer where maybe you had a couple of cocktails, whatnot, but you're sitting there with Drew Brees and you say, I'm coming back, and you're joking around. But nonetheless, you say that. You had Drew Rosenhaus on Mike Greenberg's show, ESPN Get Up, whatever that show is called, Get Up on ESPN, rather. Right after you retire, the day after that, he's literally on ESPN saying, if Tom Brady gave you a call, maybe you would return. Right, so you have all these different things. He's playing catch with Brady in the offseason. All these different things where you always say you're keeping it open. The owner of the football team last week came out and said, hey, he hasn't filed his retirement paper, so to speak. So for Gronk to be like, well, I keep saying no, and then like the rationale behind the reason that he's saying no is essentially what Gronk was saying today, was that because everybody doesn't believe him, he just goes along with it. That doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. So he just goes along with what other people are saying because they're saying it. That doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. You could make this very easy on yourself and just come out and say, no, I'm retiring and I'm staying retired for good. And essentially, that's kind of what he did today. And that's why today, what Rob Gronkowski said, I believed him. What he was saying today when he got almost agitated about the situation when he was asked about it, it made me think that for the first time, really, he's closing that door. And I'm not saying that he didn't know that, but it felt like from the outside looking in, he kept hinting at the fact that he could possibly come back. And today was kind of like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not coming back. So a couple of things must have happened. And the thing that confuses me with what happened today is this is not good for the Rob Gronkowski brand, so to speak. For Rob Gronkowski to remain relevant, he needs to keep it out there that he could possibly return. He needs to keep that out there. That's what I felt the whole time this was about. This was keeping the Gronk brand relevant, so to speak, right? Because from my perspective, now that we found out today, and what I found out today, and maybe you disagree with me, maybe you disagree with what he said today means he's staying retired, but that's what I thought. I thought by the reaction that he had today, that means that he is staying retired, and I don't believe the fact that he can be ready for a season in a week, which he also said today on the morning show. But nonetheless, getting back to the original point that I was making, with Rob Gronkowski making that statement today, essentially, saying he is staying retired, what I don't get is why he did that. Because all these past couple of months, he's been basically promoting the fact or hinting at the fact that he could return. And from my perspective, that keeps him relevant in terms of the football world. So I'm wondering if a couple of things happen. Maybe he got some feedback last week from the people at Fox, maybe the people around him that said, hey, Gronk, you did a really good job with this. Hey, man, you were excellent in your television debut. Now, I wasn't as harsh on him as other people were. I thought he was kind of funny at points. Now, the mock skit, if you will, or the skit about him getting the interview to eventually get the job at Fox, that was dumb. I didn't think that was funny whatsoever. And of course, he's going to have to expand his role at Fox. But besides just essentially what he did the other night was, it seemed to me at least, that he was basically cutting a WWE promo. That's what it looked like to me. So obviously he's got a lot of work to do. But I'm wondering if somebody gave him really good feedback and said, hey, you can stay relevant with this. Don't worry about the whole football thing. So maybe he was keeping the football thing there to remain in the news, to remain a relevant personality, to remain somebody that is famous in that light. And now that he had this audition with Fox, maybe people were saying essentially, not an audition, he was already hired, but you get the point, his premiere appearance on the network. Maybe what happened was people got to Gronk and they essentially said, hey, man, you did such a good job. Don't worry about this whole NFL thing. You're going to be an excellent broadcaster, which if that is the case, he got some really bad feedback because it's not like he's this outstanding superstar. Like the first time Tony Romo called the game, everybody's like, all right, he's going to be really good. You didn't get that impression with Gronk, okay? He wasn't that good. I mean, he was fine, but he wasn't that good. So maybe that's the case. Maybe somebody said, hey, you're really going to love it in terms of doing the Fox stuff. Or maybe the other thing, like he was talking about today, he's doing some stuff with A-Rod. He's heading out to Los Angeles. He's going to be there for a couple of weeks doing stuff with A-Rod and whatnot. So maybe that's part of the thing as well. But in terms of the Gronk brand, I didn't think this was a smart move by him. Basically coming out defiantly and saying, I'm not returning, because essentially that's the reaction I got from Gronk today, or that's what I took from his statement. And for the Gronk brand, for him to stay relevant, it just seems like to me that wasn't a very wise move. Now, another thing I took from what he said today in terms of he's staying retired. Well, that means that the owner of the team, this was essentially his life raft, right? Robert Kraft's life raft was the ability to somehow pry Rob Gronkowski out of retirement and rejoin the New England Patriots. That's what he was looking for, because we know right now the coach of the team, Bill Belichick, the quarterback of the team, Tom Brady, they are both upset with the fact that Antonio Brown is no longer a member of this organization. I think that's pretty clear. Robert Kraft was the one that no longer wanted him to be a member of the organization. It was Tom Brady and Bill Belichick that wanted him. Remember, you had Tom Brady basically talk about it after he was cut, that you invest personally in guys and you build relationships with guys. So what Robert Kraft was doing, my theory last week on Thursday Night Football, is Robert Kraft's up there with Willie McGinest and Colleen Wolfe for the NFL Network. And before the game, he was essentially saying, well, you know what? Gronk has not filed his retirement papers yet. So essentially what that means is that's an academic argument, in the words of Robert Kraft, like the terminology there, an academic argument for why he could actually return to the Patriots this particular season. So that was almost as if the owner of the team was getting the hopes up of the fan base for the possibility of Rob Gronkowski return. And this could be the move where Robert Kraft took the bow and Robert Kraft got all the credit for that, right? If Rob Gronkowski returns, it's not going to be because Bill Belichick convinces him. Maybe it would have been because Tom Brady convinced him, but Brady already said earlier this week that he wouldn't do that. That's unfair to Gronk. He wouldn't do that. But who would get the credit? It would be Robert Kraft. And with everything that transpired with the situation with Robert Kraft and the fact that you have two parties that are upset with him with the Antonio Brown cutting, so to speak, and getting rid of Antonio Brown, that would put him back in the good light with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Hey, Gronk's back. You got that weapon that ultimately you were missing. Okay, so that's the other thing I look at right now. So now Robert Kraft is looking at Bill Belichick saying, hey, we got to do something here for Tom. We got to get somebody in here that can help the offense start to get back to where Tom Brady wants it to be, because I've made the statement multiple times here with Tom Brady. He's gone from the prince of positivity to Eeyore in the past couple of weeks with how negative he's been in terms of the answers to questions at the podium, how aggravated he's been with the offense. He's just been a very cranky, very pouty individual at this particular point in time. That's why Bill Belichick's going to have to go out there and get him something at the trading deadline, because obviously this team right now needs additional weapons. The number is 617-779-7937. Do you believe Rob Gronkowski after his appearance on the Greg Hill Show today, where ultimately he said, I'm staying retired? Now, the other thing that stuck out to me about Rob Gronkowski today was Rob Gronkowski was asked the question about Bill Belichick and whether or not he misses Coach Belichick.
Do you miss Bill Belichick?
Oh man, in ways for sure.
In ways,
yeah, just like I mean, leaving the game, I miss the game in ways for sure. But you know, his coaching techniques and everything. I mean, he's hands down one of the best coach. I mean, obviously, I've ever been around, and that's why he's at the level he is. But just the way that he coaches and what he brings up with coaching points, and then it always happens in that game coming up. And if it doesn't happen in that game, it happens like in another week or two. And his coaching points are always just solid, always right on. And it's just unbelievable, just the techniques he knows, the schemes he knows. And he's just hands down the best coach and just knows it all. I mean, he does watch film, right? I think 24/7, though.
Yeah.
Okay, then the follow-up to that was Greg Hill then asked him, quote, people thought when you were leaving that you had become frustrated with Belichick in dealing with that. And he said, oh, not at all. Yeah, not at all. So he said he wasn't aggravated or frustrated with Bill Belichick whatsoever. And to that I say, hogwash. That cannot be true. That isn't even remotely true, because we all know that Rob Gronkowski had grown tired of Bill Belichick over the past couple of years. So, look, Gronk was basically going out there and he was going to say good stuff about the organization, didn't want to throw anybody under the bus, but let's be real. Rob Gronkowski was incredibly frustrated with his situation here over the past couple of years. I mean, just look at a couple of examples. So, remember this. Danny Amendola, remember when he signed with the Miami Dolphins? Remember what Gronk put on Instagram? He said, thanks for the hugs and the memories. Stay lit, be free, and be happy. So he said, be free and be happy when Danny Amendola found a way to get out of New England and sign with the Miami Dolphins. What does that tell you about the situation that Rob Gronkowski was in with this current team? Okay, and then furthermore, he was on with actually Mutt last year on WEI in the morning, where he came out and essentially Chris Gronkowski, his brother, was, or I shouldn't say he was on, Chris Gronkowski was on here, and this is what Chris Gronkowski had to say about Rob Gronkowski, his brother at the time. Quote, there wasn't a ton of communication between Rob and the Patriots. He wanted to get paid what he deserved. He wanted to be paid as one of the top tight ends for once. It's been a struggle for him to make the money. So essentially what his brother was saying is that Rob Gronkowski was upset about his current contract situation. This was last year. And then Rob Gronkowski essentially towed the company line, and he came out and said, hey, his brother speaks for himself. That wasn't coming from me. That's coming from my brother. But we all know that how the hell would Chris Gronkowski just come up with that out of thin air? Obviously, that's information he got from his brother, and his brother, Rob Gronkowski, was just going out there and basically catering to what the Patriots wanted him to do, to go out there and say, hey, this isn't true, none of this happened, blah, blah, blah. But we all know that the opposite is actually true, and that, in fact, Rob Gronkowski on multiple occasions has been upset with his contract situation. Let's not forget the fact that, remember what happened before last season. About 3 weeks into the season, we find out this story that essentially Bill Belichick had been trying to trade Rob Gronkowski to the Detroit Lions, to the point where he had a deal done. And then Rob Gronkowski came into the office and essentially said, hey, I'm either going to retire or play here. I'm only playing for Tom Brady. Remember that? He came out and basically that was like a huge headline where he said, Brady's the only quarterback I'm going to play for. And all the Patriots fans loved it. But the point being, the more important point there being that Bill Belichick was willing to trade Rob Gronkowski. So what happened there was Bill Belichick was showing the power he had over the employee, essentially saying, hey, man, if you don't want to be here, fine, I'll get rid of you. Okay, you don't have any real say in the matter here. If you want to retire, fine. But if you're not going to get on board here, get with the program, so to speak, I'm going to get rid of you. And that's exactly what Bill Belichick had been planning to do, was to trade him to the Detroit Lions. Now, personally, how I felt that was, is he knew that Rob Gronkowski was never going to play for the Lions. So he had that deal done, knowing the fact that essentially what was going to happen is Rob Gronkowski was just going to get back in line, so to speak. And if you look at it from the Lions' perspective, obviously with Bob Quinn there and Matt Patricia there, they could use those guys because of the fact that they both come from the Patriots organization. So that was a way that basically he could get Rob Gronkowski to stop, in his mind, acting up, essentially. But clearly, there has been frustration over the years between Rob Gronkowski and Bill Belichick. And here's my theory on why today he doesn't come out and essentially say negative things about Bill Belichick. Now, I don't think it has something to do with, all right, like these guys are programmed, they're robots. That would be one thing if he was playing, right? So if he was playing, I could understand why he's not going to say anything about the guy that's coaching him and the guy that makes all the personnel decisions with the team. But my theory on all this is pretty simple. So Rob Gronkowski right now is in a situation where he still has a really, really good friend and a couple of really good friends that play for the Patriots, mainly Tom Brady and Julian Edelman. So what Rob Gronkowski doesn't want to do is he doesn't want to cause any controversy. He doesn't want to ignite a fire within that organization that Tom Brady's going to have to put out and that Julian Edelman's going to have to put out, right? Because if Rob Gronkowski comes on WEI today and he starts talking about how upset he was with his contract situations over the years, how pissed he was when the Patriots essentially tried to trade him to the Detroit Lions, all that different type of stuff, right? So if he actually did that, if he actually came out and said that, well, then that becomes a national story, and then that becomes a huge, massive story for the New England Patriots, which Rob Gronkowski knows that Tom Brady's going to have to deal with that, and Julian Edelman's going to have to deal with that, and James White's going to have to deal with that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he doesn't want to be that guy. He doesn't want to be that guy. That doesn't look good for Rob Gronkowski right now. Even though he doesn't owe anything to the team at this particular point in time, that doesn't look good for Rob Gronkowski if he comes out and he just basically eviscerates Bill Belichick. Now, for us at WEI, that would be awesome, right? If he came out in the morning show and just said, hey, I hate Bill Belichick. He should have given me the contract. He should have given me more money and all that different type of stuff. I can't believe he tried to trade me to the Lions. Like, that would have been great. But you know that Rob Gronkowski is not going to do that now because he still has some level of loyalty to his former teammates. So my theory on all this is what is going to happen is eventually this stuff is going to get out. Eventually we're going to hear why Rob Gronkowski was aggravated with the contract situation, what went into those discussions between Bill Belichick and Rob Gronkowski, because eventually what I feel is going to happen is after Tom Brady's no longer a member of this team, after Julian Edelman's no longer a member of this team, and after basically the guys that Rob Gronkowski has a legitimate relationship with on the team, after those guys are gone, Rob Gronkowski is going to do what most former athletes do, especially athletes that are at his level in terms of his level of fame. He's going to write a book. That's what all these guys do after they retire. They write a book. Okay, so let me give you an example. When Ray Allen wrote his book that came out, what, about 2 years ago now or a year and a half ago now, whatever the case may be, remember that Ray Allen book? What was the most popular thing in that book? What was the thing that was getting the most attention with that book that Ray Allen put out, which was a book about Ray Allen? And it was all about his routines, his shooting, how obsessed he was with the game, going back to his days at UConn with Jim Calhoun and how basically they built up a program there, like all stuff, his whole career, his whole biography was in this book that Ray Allen put out there. What was the number one storyline that, whether it be locally here or whether it be nationally, that got all the headlines? How was Ray Allen selling that book? The number one thing that people wanted to ask Ray Allen about was the feud between him and the Celtics. Remember, this is like a 2-week storyline, like all over the place, not just locally, on national television. Everybody's talking about Ray Allen and the Paul Pierce Celtics team and what the hell happened with those guys, right? How did the relationship get so ugly? Are they actually talking? Will they actually talk ever again? This thing happened in 2008, right? When they won the championship, and then what, 2011, 2012, he left the team. Like, this is ages ago now, and these guys still aren't over it. So that was the number one storyline. Everybody wanted to know about the relationship between Ray Allen and Rondo. Remember, that was a whole feud. Remember, Ray Allen was upset with Doc Rivers, essentially, that Doc Rivers was making him come off the bench, right? And Ray Allen actually went to the coaching staff and said, hey, Rondo's freezing me out. And according to Ray Allen, the coaching staff knew about that, and they still went along with it. So that's how Ray Allen was trying to get people to buy his book. Even though I'm sure that's not the number one thing that Ray Allen wanted to talk about, but if you look at it from the author's perspective, the guy that's helping Ray Allen write his book, and the publishing company, they want to sell as many books as they possibly can. So they say, okay, what's the most hot-button topic here? What's the most interesting thing in Ray Allen's career? And the most interesting thing in Ray Allen's career is the drama between him and the Celtics and the divorce between him and the Celtics. Okay, yeah, it's interesting he hit that shot against the Spurs to essentially send it to a Game 7. That sent it to overtime in Game 6, but that's interesting. But what are you going to say about that? The guy concentrates, he hits a three-pointer. Now you can say, oh, well, he hates Rondo, he hates Doc Rivers. Well, doesn't hate him anymore. Him and Paul Pierce, him and KG, they didn't talk for all these years. Perkins froze him out, like all this stuff. Like, that is juicy details in a book. So when I look what's going to happen with Rob Gronkowski is eventually this guy is going to write a book, and that's where we're going to find out what happened here. Because if Gronk is going to sell this book, years from now, whatever he decides to write it, because I'm telling you, all these former athletes write books. Even sometimes current athletes write books. Julian Edelman's got a book, right? So most of these guys, when they're done playing, they end up writing books. And what is going to be the thing that most people want to know about with Gronk? They don't want to know about the party buses and the parties that he hosts. They don't want to know about him spiking the football. And maybe some people will find it interesting, him coming back from all these injuries and all that different type of stuff. I'm sure people will find that compelling in some way, shape, or form. People probably want to know about his relationship with Tom Brady and how basically he took off once he got into the NFL. That second year, he set the record for most touchdowns by a tight end. But the big hot button issue, the hot topic that will actually sell books and that the publishing company will actually want to put out there is what happened with Rob Gronkowski and Bill Belichick when Bill Belichick tried to trade him. What happened with Rob Gronkowski and Bill Belichick when him and Drew Rosenhaus were trying to get more money? What happened with Rob Gronkowski and the Patriots where they gave him fake incentives just like they gave Tom Brady last year? That's the juicy thing that'll sell. So the reason he's not doing this now and the reason that he's not being essentially negative towards Bill Belichick and saying that, oh, there's no ill will there, essentially, and I'm paraphrasing what Gronk said today on the Greg Hill Show. But the reason he's not doing any of that is because he doesn't want to put a bad situation on the field or in the locker room for any of the guys that he's still buddies with. And I can appreciate that from Gronk's perspective, and I'm sure the guys on his team can appreciate that, because you don't think Tom Brady knows how aggravated Rob Gronkowski was with his contract? You don't think Julian Edelman knows how aggravated he was with his contract? So what he's doing is he's looking out for his buddies on the team. He's not looking out for Bill Belichick. He's looking out for the buddies on his team. Because remember, even over these past couple of weeks, he's been taking shots at Bill Belichick. When he was on Fox, yeah, it's in a joking manner. But when he was making his debut on Fox, he basically said Bill Belichick has ruined hoodies because he's wearing them sleeveless and he isn't jacked. And the other thing he said, remember this. This is the one that stuck out to me. His, like, opening line on Fox was they asked him, like, hey, could you return? How long are you going to be here? And he said, I can tell you this. It's a lot easier getting a contract done here than it's getting a contract done with the New England Patriots. That's the thing that stuck out to me. So, yes, it was in a joking manner, but it was also taking a little jab at Bill Belichick. All right, if you want to weigh in on everything that Gronk had to say today on the Greg Hill Show, the number 617-779-7937. Do you believe that he'll remain retired? Brian Barrett with you for the next 2.5 hours or so. We'll get you trending in just a second here.
The only station in Boston where you'll hear exclusive interviews with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Some drama with the Patriots. Ian Rapoport reports that Michael Bennett has been suspended 1 week for conduct detrimental to the team. He will miss Monday's game against the New York Jets. Bennett got into a disagreement with Pat's assistant coach Brett Bielema. Bennett released a statement to ESPN saying, quote, on Friday, I had a philosophical disagreement with my position coach that has led to my suspension. I apologize to my teammates for any distraction this may have caused. Bennett played a season-low 11 snaps against the Giants last week. Some good news on the injury front. Rookie receiver...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Kill Harry returned to practice today. Harry is eligible to play in Week 9 against the Baltimore Ravens. Blockbuster deal in the NFL is Adam Schefter reports the Jaguars have traded cornerback Jalen Ramsey to the Rams for 2 first-round picks and a 4th-round pick. Earlier in the day, L.A. sent defensive back Marcus Peters to the Ravens for a 5th-round pick. The Seas beat the Cavs 118-95 at a preseason game. Rookie Carson Edwards had a team-high 30 points. The Green kept their main rotation guys home. Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, Marcus Smart, Enes Kanter, and Daniel Tice were all given the night off. I don't know why Tice was given the night off, but nonetheless, this was the final preseason tune-up for the Seas. They'll visit the Sixers on the 23rd to open up the regular season. Baseball, the Astros beat the Yankees 4-1 to take a 2-1 lead of the best-of-7 series. Game 4 scheduled for Wednesday night in New York, weather permitting. Supposed to be ugly there tomorrow. The Nationals and the Cardinals underway in Game 4, and the Nats have a 7-4 lead in the bottom of the 7th inning. The Nationals are looking to complete the 4-game sweep. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Gronk, why didn't Malcolm Butler play in the Super Bowl against the Eagles?
You know, everyone asked me this. My friends asked me this. Whoever asked me this, I actually know less info. than you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
he's a
defensive player.
I swear.
Don't pay attention
to exactly. Yeah. You understand, Wiggy, you how it works. You know?
Did you guys talk about it afterwards? Like, were you guys.
I mean, I still. I still don't even really know. I never really asked. I just stay in my lane.
I guess he took the advice of LeVar Ball, stay in your lane. I guess that's exactly what Gronk did. 617-779-7937. So do you believe that Gronk is retired for good? And now this, do you believe that he actually doesn't know what happened with Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl? Now, a couple of things that he said there. He said that he never even asked a defensive player what happened. Okay, now this is where I don't believe Gronk whatsoever. Okay, now I understand he's not going to come out and say that he has information. He's not going to reveal any information. And quite frankly, that actually may be true. He may actually not really know why Malcolm Butler played in the Super Bowl. And a lot of guys may actually not know. In fact, Tom Brady, he said that he didn't know. Now, Tom Brady also said that he wished Malcolm Butler played in that game. Tom Brady is on the record of saying essentially that he didn't understand what defense they would be in when Malcolm Butler wouldn't be on the field. He said that Malcolm Butler came on up to him during the game and saying, hey, what's going on? Go Tom, go TB, do your thing, whatever. And Tom Brady said, what defense are we in that Malcolm Butler's not on the field? So I actually can believe Gronk that he didn't know why Malcolm Butler didn't play. I believe a lot of the guys on the team still don't know why Malcolm Butler didn't play in the game. Now, I know a lot of people, Glenn Ordway has said that essentially he thinks it was a game planning thing. Now, I find that perplexing because he played, 99% of the snaps during the regular season. So I don't want to get into a whole conversation about what happened and what transpired and the decision for Malcolm Butler not to play. But what I do want to get to is Rob Gronkowski saying today that he never asked the defensive player about it. I find that to be awfully difficult to believe. So Rob Gronkowski goes out there in that Super Bowl game against the Eagles. He was tremendous. If you forgot, the guy had 9 grabs for a 116 and 2 touchdowns. He was absolutely dominant in that game. Gronk was unbelievable in that game. So after that game, and by the way, all year you're busting your ass. We're finding out now more than we ever knew about Gronk, what he was actually playing. Now, we knew about the injuries that he was going through, but we didn't know about all the pain, how significant the pain was, to the point where he's referencing where he had to get blood drained during the Super Bowl against the Rams. After that game, he's talking about the fact how much pain he was in and how he lost the joy in the game because he was going through all those issues. So you think about it from his perspective. He's busting his ass all offseason to get ready. All season, he's doing his thing to make sure he's on the football field. Obviously, he played through injury after injury after injury. So you go out there and you perform at that type of level, 2 touchdowns, a 116. And there was one difference on the team that day. The guy named Malcolm Butler, who played a significant amount of snaps during the regular season, was a starter, was essentially your number one defensive back for a good portion of the season. I guess Stephon Gilmore emerged into that role. But coming into the season, a lot of people thought Malcolm Butler was going to be the guy. He was upset about his contract, but all of a sudden in the Super Bowl, he doesn't play. You're telling me that Rob Gronkowski wasn't asking after the game and in the months after that, the following months, I should say, why wasn't Malcolm Butler playing in that game? I know if it was me personally and I was on the Patriots and I was a member of that offense or I was a member of that defense, I would be wondering what the hell happened to Malcolm Butler. So
what a hoodie.
Yeah, I actually do truly believe that Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady don't know why Malcolm Butler didn't play. I believe Bill Belichick's just never going to tell anybody why Malcolm Butler didn't play in that game. I truly actually do believe him when he says that. But the fact that they weren't wondering about that, I can't believe that. I mean, that's one of the worst decisions in the history of Bill Belichick's career, not playing Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. And these guys, and Tom Brady threw for over 500 yards. Rob Gronkowski had a 116. He wasn't wondering after the game why Malcolm Butler didn't play. I'm pretty sure that's going to be the number one question that we all have about the Belichick era. What the hell happened in that game? It's like one of the great questions of all time. I don't know if we'll ever figure out the answer. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2.5 hours or so. Let's get to Sorja in Bridgewater. What's going on, Sorja?
How's it going? Before we get to Gronk, you had brought up Ray Allen, and I have a quick question for you. So I don't know if you remember, but on like Area 21, that was a show KG had.
Yeah,
they
had like a little reunion.
I'm pretty sure it got canceled. But they had like a big reunion. Like Perkins was there, Pierce was there,
Rondo
was there.
Yeah,
and they had Doc on the big screen, and obviously Ray Allen wasn't there. So
and Big Baby,
Yeah, and Big Baby. Do you think they ever get, 5-10 years from now? Do you think either side extends an olive branch and kind of is like, you know what? What happened in the past is the past. You know, you're still a very contributing member of that 2008 run. You did kind of go to Miami for less money, but, you know, let's just hash it out. Do you think that would ever happen?
I wish they would, Sorge, because I think the guys, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Perkins, all those guys, I get it at the time where they were aggravated, but I think they've completely overreacted to this because basically Doc Rivers admitted to the fact to Ray Allen that he was getting basically froze out of the offense by Rajon Rondo. You asked a Hall of Famer to come off the bench. He was going to have to continue to come off the bench in the coming years. So I understand why Ray Allen left to go to Miami the way that Rondo was treating him, et cetera. So I understand now, like looking back at the time, obviously you're pissed off, but come on, man. It's been like 10 years. Can't you get over this if you're Paul Pierce? And look, I believe they will, but in terms of him being beloved here in Boston, it looks like it's never going to happen, which is kind of a shame because really, you know, the guy that we should be blaming for all this, it's Rondo. Rondo was the guy that caused all these issues, and we're finding out that Rondo is basically a coach killer and a team killer. Look at what he did in Dallas. They told him, hey, don't even play for the team. We don't want you. In Sacramento, the guy was a mess, and now he's on the Lakers. Good luck to them. But nonetheless, I thought that was one of the most like childish ways that they've handled Ray Allen since then. The guy was a great player for them.
Right. And just with Gronk, I just think, you know, for me, I look at it like if you look at it even like a bigger picture. Let's say you start a new job at Fox, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like 2-3 months down the line, you just all of a sudden leave the job. Like for me, I could see it happen. Of course, it's for regular people like us, it's something to kind of be unheard of, but for him, I could see it. I just don't see it happening because he just started at Fox, right? And
yeah, but I don't think that's the case because, look, Jay Cutler was going to work at Fox, and then he got a job to start for the Miami Dolphins. Jason Witten spent a year with ESPN, and then he left to go back for the Dallas Cowboys. So I don't think it has anything to do with Fox. Maybe part of it is that people thought he had a good debut, and, I mean, judgment definitely up in the air with that one. But I don't think it has to do with, oh, I gave Fox my word that I do X amount of games. I don't think that has anything to do with it. I just think the guy's done. I think what he was saying today on the Greg Hill Show, I believe he was genuine.
Yeah, and I think it for we kind of talk about it every week. I don't know if that would have a role to do with it. Like, we kind of just keep giving it some power every week, and then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, he comes back week 11, week 10. But, I mean, the way the Patriots' offense is right now, I have to tell you, I mean, we could really use, if Gronk has anything left in the tank, we could really use him.
Yeah, well, and I appreciate the phone call, by the way. The number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you here, WEI Late Night. Well, that's what was aggravating me about Gronk before today, because today I felt like we actually got some closure. I felt like today the way that Gronk answered that question from Greg Hill, or I should say more specifically from the caller on the Greg Hill Show, the way that he answered that question, that was an emphatic, no, I'm not coming back. And that's really the first time since Rob Gronkowski ultimately decided to retire that we've got that emphatic, I'm not coming back. There was always, well, maybe there's an opening. If I wanted to come back, I could. Remember, he keeps giving us hints. He keeps dropping these little hints that he could possibly make a return to the NFL. So today was the first time that he said, no, I'm not coming back. And he was emphatic. No, I'm not coming back. It's a no.
It would be a no.
Yeah.
It would be a no.
Yes, it would be a no. There it is.
He sounds like almost mad. And Gronk's not a guy that gets too angry. Gronk's not that type of guy. He's usually happy and all that different type of stuff and joking around. And that seemed to get underneath his skin. So I'm wondering if part of the reason that Gronk has now come to the conclusion that he can come out and essentially say he's done is that now he feels comfortable in the role he has outside of football. Because I've always believed that part of the reason that he keeps hinting at that and part of the reason I was upset as a fan of the Patriots is it felt like he was teasing us, right? Especially with this team right now where we've seen the tight end situation. They got like two new tight ends now. Ben Watson's back. Like, it's a mess. Ryan Izzo can't block. Matt LaCoste is dealing with injuries, right? So they don't have a tight end right now that you can actually say, we can depend on that guy, right? If you're the Patriots, you can say, we got that guy. And Gronk would actually be a major contributor to this team. So that's what aggravated me about him continually hinting at the possibility of returning. It was as if he was using the fan base's loyalty as basically a way to tease the fan base and to stay relevant for the Gronk brand. So maybe what happened, maybe what transpired over the past couple of days is after he made that debut on Fox, he got some positive reinforcement. The people at Fox liked it. Maybe his brothers really liked it. Maybe his father maybe really liked it. Whoever. Maybe somebody really said, hey, Gronk, you're going to be a star at this, although I quite frankly have my doubts. And now he's got this thing that he's going to be doing with A-Rod, the fitness thing, the fitness app that he's going to be, he mentioned on the Greg Hill Show this morning, he's going to be out in Los Angeles, essentially filming that for about 3 weeks. So maybe all that coming together, maybe he finally says, all right, I actually feel comfortable in my post-NFL career, so I can say this now, that I'm ultimately going to retire. He's essentially saying to himself, well, I don't need to have that. I don't need to have that possibility of returning to stay relevant anymore. The one thing that I would caution Gronk about is I believe he still does need that. I believe he still needs to dangle the carrot. So from the Gronk brand perspective, I felt like that was a bad thing to say on his perspective, from his perspective, I should say. I don't think that was smart for him to essentially say, no, I'm done. When Gronk comes out and he says, ah, yeah, I'm leaving that opening there, it continues to keep him in the news. It continues to keep him relevant. And the conversation about a possible return to the NFL for Gronk and a return more specifically to the Patriots, that's going to be there. But now, the way he answered the question today, I don't believe there's any way that Rob Gronkowski is returning, especially this year, maybe into the future. But now, at this point, the way he answered that question today, I actually do believe Gronk when he says, I'm retired. It's a no. I'm not coming back. And this is the first time I can say that I actually 100% believe Gronk. I have been one of these people, just like Wiggy and a bunch of other people here who have essentially said that they believe Rob Gronkowski is going to come back at some point. I had been in that camp. I had been in that camp because it felt like he just kept putting it out there, right? And now, after the way that he answered that question today, with that level of emphasis and the basically where he came out, he said, no, it's a no, it's a no, it's a no. The way that he answered the question today made me truly believe that Rob Gronkowski is done for good and he's never going to return to the NFL. And this today was the first time I actually felt that way. So now if you look at it from a Patriots perspective, what the hell's next?
You can't handle the truth.
Exactly. Who are they going to go out and get on the open market, or I should say the trading market, in terms of weapons? We can get into that. Some of the names that are out there, who do you want to see the Patriots go after? Plus, this Michael Bennett situation. What do the Patriots, now that they've suspended with Michael Bennett for a week, what do they do with the player? Do they try to trade him? Do they cut him? Is there any value there? I'll get into all that. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEI.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Wondering what it's been like to coach Michael Bennett so far this season and what you guys have gotten out of him.
Yeah, good. Michael's a smart player. He's got a lot of experience. He has a lot of he's been in a different system, so he's kind of adapted to our system, but we've also, you know, talked to him about some of the things that he's done, and he obviously is, you know, has a lot of experience and a lot of input, not just against individual players, but also, you know, schematically. So it's been good.
All right, so that was Bill Belichick last week trying to prop up the player, Michael Bennett, who's losing playing time week after week. And the latest, not good for the Patriots. What should they do with this Michael Bennett situation? 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you, WEI Late Night. All right, so Bennett now has been suspended 1 week for conduct detrimental to the team. Mike Reese had the report. The suspension is a result of a disagreement between Bennett and defensive line coach Brett Bielema last Friday that was witnessed by some players. Bennett released a statement today via ESPN, quote, "On Friday, I had a philosophical disagreement with my position coach that has led to my suspension. I apologize to my teammates for any distraction this may have caused." I like how he puts that. They had a philosophical disagreement. So Brett Bielema,
Michael Bennett, Wakanda forever!
So Michael Bennett and Brett Bielema had a philosophical disagreement. I wonder how that went. "Hey, coach, I really think that you should use me in this capacity." "No, Michael, we think that we should put you in the game in this way." No, basically what happened was Michael Bennett went into his coach's room on Friday. He went in to meet with Brett Bielema, and he got upset, right? That's what happened. I mean, naturally, we know what transpired here. Michael Bennett's pissed off. This is a proud veteran that is now 34 years old, multi-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champ, all that stuff, has had a great career in the NFL. And last week, he plays a season-low 11 snaps against the New York Giants.
Devin McCourty snap counts down, too.
Yeah, it's down from like 99% to like 93%, right, Devin McCourty? I love how Belichick pointed that out too after the game. Yeah, McCourty, very similar situation. McCourty and Michael Bennett. Michael Bennett played 11 snaps last week against the New York Giants. So when you look at this and you start to try to think what's going on with the Michael Bennett situation, clearly we're seeing what's happening, right? Guys are passing him on the depth chart. And what's happening to Michael Bennett, he's a veteran player that's kind of being pushed out right now. Now, the one thing I'll say in defense of Michael Bennett is I don't believe that Michael Bennett at this particular point in time can't perform at a high level. It just so happens to be, and you heard Belichick kind of allude to it, it's a different type of system. So if you just look at it from a pure X's and O's standpoint, Michael Bennett is used to being a 4-3 defensive end. So when Michael Bennett's a 4-3 defensive end, he's been a really effective player over the majority of his career. But what's going on now with Michael Bennett is this is a 3-4 system that they've mainly been playing over the past couple of weeks here, and he doesn't really have a spot. He doesn't really have a spot in the rotation. So that's why his numbers are so down right now when you're talking about Michael Bennett, because he doesn't have a spot in the rotation. And here's the issue that the Patriots have. The issue the Patriots have is this is a veteran that's losing playing time, right? This isn't a second-year guy or a rookie or anything along those lines. This is a proud veteran. So he got traded here, and he got money to come here. And Michael Bennett's saying, well, if I'm not going to play, this is going to be an issue going forward. And that's why you saw what the Patriots did. They said, hey, Michael, you know what? Get away from the team right now. We don't want you around the team right now. And cool off a little bit, then come back when you clear your head. Okay, but what I look at right now is they got to find a way to get rid of the player, because in my mind, this is the last we've seen Michael Bennett as a member of the New England Patriots. Now, I'm talking about actually playing, because now I try to think about it from the Patriots' perspective in terms of what they could actually get for the player. It feels like when you look at if you're trying to move Michael Bennett, it's not very appealing now in terms of the trading market, because you have not really garnered a lot of leverage here. It would be one thing if you were trading a player after an unbelievable season. But now when you look at Michael Bennett, he's barely playing. So if you're a team that's looking to acquire a guy like Michael Bennett, just for example, if you're kicking the tires on Michael Bennett, this is what you have right now. This guy was in Seattle for a number of years, played at a high level, but basically wanted out of there. And that was not a good situation because he wanted more money contractually. Same thing happened in Philadelphia. He goes to Philadelphia, wants more money. So then he comes to the Patriots, the standard bearer in the NFL. This is the premier organization in the sport. And right now, he's a malcontent. He's having an issue with his defensive line coach, Brett Bielema. Not to mention the fact that this guy has another year remaining on his contract where he has a cap hit of $10.2 million next season. So who exactly out there is like, yeah, I'll take a shot on Michael Bennett at this point? No, the Patriots probably will find a team to deal Michael Bennett to, but I just don't understand the leverage that the Patriots have in this particular scenario, where after you get a guy that you thought was actually going to play a key role on the team, right? Because remember, Michael Bennett was supposed to, and I know that the Patriots don't look at this exactly as I'm about to say it, but the way that we felt about it in this town was essentially he was going to replace Trey Flowers. Nobody, at this point, everyone's like, well, Trey Flowers, I forgot that guy was even on the team. I mean, the Patriots don't miss him whatsoever. The defense is significantly better this year. And by the way, not to go on a complete digression, I'll get into the NFL officiating later on. But man, Trey Flowers got screwed over last night by the officials with two bad penalties. But nonetheless, Michael Bennett was supposed to be that replacement for Trey Flowers. And what the Patriots have discovered over the past couple of weeks is essentially that they don't need Michael Bennett to play a key role on this team. And now that he's actually becoming more of a detriment to the team because he's creating an issue in the locker room, he's hurting team chemistry to the point where they just said, hey, get away from the team. We don't want you around the team for a week. Not to mention the fact it's not as if you're so good we need you. You're barely playing. You're playing 11 snaps. So when I look at it from all different angles here, I just don't understand the benefit of keeping this guy on the team long term. I really don't see it. I really don't see what he's going to do for this team where you're saying essentially in the system, he doesn't really help out. But the problem here is with the Patriots, I don't know what you can get on the open market for a guy that is with the best organization in the sport. Right now, he's a malcontent. He's 34 years old right now. He has $10.2 million in terms of a cap hit in next year's season. What team's like, oh yeah, I want Michael Bennett. I'm going to give up something of quality for Michael Bennett. It just seems like this is going to be one of those throwaway deals for the Patriots where they just get rid of the player. That's what it seems like to me. Now, if you could ever get something of value, if you could ever trade this guy and get something of value, congratulations to the Patriots. I just don't see that being a possibility. Now, it would be huge for the Patriots if they could actually get rid of the player, because basically you get his salary cap hit off the salary cap, right? You can get rid of his cap hit, which is pretty big at this particular point in time. It'd be nice to move that because we know, because of everything that went on with this Antonio Brown situation, the Patriots are in salary cap hell. They're paying a player, or at least his dead cap is there, and he's filing a grievance against the NFL, essentially. His money is on the salary cap. It's a dead cap hit, and the player is not even there. So it would be nice if you could get rid of Michael Bennett. I just don't know how you can deal with this type of situation and actually benefit in terms of getting something back of value for a player like Michael Bennett. So the Patriots may essentially just have to cut their losses, either get rid of the player, swallow the cap hit, or try to convince him to play like a minor role on the team. The problem is, though, clearly this guy is not going to be okay with taking a minor role on the team. Like, for example, a guy like, remember Chris Long a couple of years ago, he comes in, no problems with that guy in terms of a locker room issue, because this is a proud player. Remember, came from the Rams, was a Pro Bowler with the Rams, former number two overall pick in the draft. He comes over, he's not an issue in the locker room when he's basically a situational guy. Now, he had big plays, like the game against the Falcons in the Super Bowl, had a huge play in that game, but he was okay with being a situational guy. He had come to that realization that at this point in my career, this is what I am. I'm a situational guy, and I'm going to have an opportunity to win a Super Bowl, which clearly I did not have for a number of years when I was playing for the Rams. Remember, this is when the Rams sucked, when Chris Long came over to the Patriots. So he was okay with it. Now with Michael Bennett, he still thinks that he's the player that he was when he was in Seattle. And who knows? Maybe if he gets into another system, he can be significantly more productive. He can get back onto the football field, and he can actually perform at somewhat of a high level. Maybe that is the case. Maybe Michael Bennett still has something left in the tank. He had, what, 9 sacks a season ago? He was good for the Eagles, so maybe Michael Bennett does have something left in the tank. But Michael Bennett has not come to the realization. He has not come to the conclusion, or at least he's not accepting that he's just going to be a bit player. He's going to be a role player. When Michael Bennett came over to the Patriots, he thought that he was going to play a major role in this team. And so because he's not, he cannot handle the situation. And just knowing that Michael Bennett, we know that this guy has a massive ego. He's been an issue with different organizations in the past. I just don't see how this issue is going to be solved. I don't see how Bill Belichick and anybody on this coaching staff, what just happened with Brett Bielema, I don't know how they can convince him to take a minor role with the team and be a situational guy. I just don't see that happening with Michael Bennett, so they're going to have to find some way to get rid of the player. My whole thing is, I just don't know what they're going to get back for him because of the fact that he's a malcontent and he hasn't been essentially on the football. You want to hop on board? What do you make of the Michael Bennett situation? The number is 617-779-7937. Plus, if you want to weigh in on what Gronk said today on the Greg Hill Show, do you think he's ever going to come back to the NFL after the answer he gave today, or did that completely close the door? Plus, some of the names out there in terms of who the Patriots could go after in the trade deadline. And N'Keal Harry's back. Is he the Patriots' savior? You're listening to Brian Barrett right here, WEI Late Night.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.